Now we have the privilege of hearing from our missionary evangelist to Ethiopia as he brings us the evening devotions. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear a few things salted in there as well about the work in Ethiopia. So Tony, come and open God's word for us, please.
If you have your Bibles with you this evening, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Listen carefully to this reading of God's Word. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through his saints. We thank you for the fulfillment of your promise each and every day as you build your church, as you subdue the nations, as you are pleased to exalt the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, grant us grace that we might profit from your word this evening, and we do praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always difficult to come up and say something after we have a presentation such as we had tonight. A few years ago, I was down in Haiti with Matt Baugh just shortly before he was killed in his motorcycle accident, and I had been delayed in Haiti because of some political problems as a result of an election and couldn't get out of the airport. They closed the airport down, and each day we would come out of his house to go down to Port-au-Prince to try and see if the airport was open so I could leave. And there was a big field out in front of his house, and there were some men working in the field, and they were picking up rocks. I mean, this field was slewed, just rocks everywhere. And I'd come home in the afternoon, there'd be a few piles of rocks there, and the men would be gone, and the field would still be full. And the next day I came out, and there was a few less men working, but same thing, rocks, rocks everywhere. And this went on for a couple of days, and then we came out of the compound one day, and there was nobody there. And I got actually very encouraged. I thought, well, maybe this means the airport's open. And I said to Matt, "Matt, is the airport open? Is this some kind of holiday? I mean, they're not working." And he looked at me, and he said, "The rocks have won." And I said, "What?" And he said, "The rocks have won. They proved too many. They were too heavy. It was just too much labor. They've gone home." I said, "Well, don't they need to plow the field? Don't they need to plant in that field? Don't they need it for their subsistence?" And he said, "Yes, but the rocks have won. They've given up. They've gone away." And I realized, and I thought about it and said, you know, that's often like it is in our churches. In our calls to missions, our calls to evangelism, the rocks won. We give up. The rocks of disbelief. Well, God really can't do in the 21st century what he did a couple thousand years ago. The rocks of opposition and persecution. It's difficult. People don't like to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. the rocks of our own security and ease. We like being comfortable. Doing those kinds of works are difficult. 1996, when I was just shortly on the mission field, less than 6 months really, I got a letter from Henry Corey. I must have read that letter 500 times. It's one of the most encouraging pieces of mail I've ever received. Here is one of the founding missionaries of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church writing me a letter to encourage me in the mission field. And it began to make me think, what is it, Lord, that makes some of your people say, here am I, send me? We heard in the presentation last night of men who were going into home mission works, making, what was it, $35 a month and not even getting all of their $35 and persevering and establishing a Presbyterian and Reformed denomination that also would grow up and begin to send out missionaries like the Hunts, the Coreys, the McAfees, the Duffs, the Andrews, the McIlwains, the Gaffins, that would say, Lord, here am I, send me. And I asked myself the question, what is it that made them the kind of people that they were, that they would sacrifice and give their labors to such a cause in such a day at such a time? And I was reminded of this passage in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, think about this for a moment. Here's this young man in the court of kings who at one point is laying prostrate upon the ground, who suddenly is standing up saying, here am I, Lord, send me. And what's taken place between that point when he's laying and that point when he's standing, asking God to send him to proclaim the message? Well, if we had a lot of time, I'd like to open up the text, but we have just a short period of time. But there's three things that take place. Three things that happen in the life of this man that causes him to say, Lord, here am I, send me, that I believe took place in our early church planters and missionaries, and certainly needs to take place in our own lives if we would but not just look with nostalgia back to the last 75 years, but we would look with vision to the next 75, asking God through us in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church to subdue the nations, to glorify Christ among all peoples. God gave to Isaiah a vision of the glory of his person. God gave to Isaiah a taste of the glory of his work. And God gave to Isaiah a zeal for the glory of his message. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord, he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And the angels cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. You see, we don't serve the figment of our imagination. We don't serve an image made with our own hands. We serve the living and true God who holds the world in the palm of his hands, who has given the nations to his Son. All authority hath been given unto me. Go ye therefore unto every nation. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He calls into existence those things which are not. He opens doors that no man can close. He closes doors that no man can open. Who can say no to the God of heaven and earth? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. If we would go in the years ahead to the nations that are there to hear, that need to hear the gospel, we must have a vision of the glory of the person of God whom we serve. We cannot simply serve a God that we've heard about. We must see him. We must see him in all of his glory, his majesty, his power, his greatness. He is the God who sends forth his word that never returns to him void. He is the God who calls out of nothing the heavens and the earth
and all that in them is. He is the God to whom and before whom all the angels even now cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of heaven and earth. You can have your Idi Amins. You can have your Saddam Husseins. You can have all the dictators of this world, but they cannot and they will not stand in the face of him who calls out of darkness into his marvelous light, who begets men and women again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the second point. Isaiah had a taste of the glory of his work. At the sight of God, he was humbled and laid flat upon the ground. And yet God came by the angel with the tongs, with the coal, and touched his lips, and his sin was atoned for. You see, each and every one of us who are true believers in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knows what it is to have God say, your sins are forgiven. The burden of our guilt being removed, because the gospel not only tells us that it delivers us from the penalty of sin, but from the pollution of sin, from the power of sin, and by God's grace, from the very presence of sin, on that day when we will be before him and be like him, because we will see him as he is. We have tasted, we have seen that the Lord is good. That's what our early missionaries understood. They understood the God with whom we had to do. They understood the work of salvation that had been wrought in their lives through the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit being begotten again. And they were willing to say, here am I, Lord, send me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I've been made alive. I was blind, but now I see. And we've been given that message. Go ye therefore unto every nation. A nation, a message of deliverance. How blessed, Isaiah says, on the mountains are the feet of them that bring good news, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness, that our God reigns. All the gods of this world are deaf and dumb idols. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. They have hands, but they cannot save. But our God saves. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But on how will they know on whom to call unless they hear him? And how will they hear him unless someone preaches? You see, God has given us the opportunity, both historically and toward the future. Historically, we have seen men who have set for us a pattern of self-denial, a pattern of surrender to God. Here am I, Lord, send me. And we stand here today because they faithfully and sacrificially and wholeheartedly and perseveringly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we have heard. But God puts before us a great opportunity to carry the gospel to the nations in our generation and in the generation to come. And he has given us the call. Some of us look and say, well, I haven't heard the voice of God from heaven. Well, we won't hear the voice of God from heaven, but we've heard the voice of our church. We need missionaries in Haiti. We need missionaries in Ethiopia. We need missionaries in Uganda. We need missionaries around our works. We need home missionaries. We need men who will say, and women who will stand with their husbands and say, here we are, Lord, send us. Send us to the highways and byways. Send us to the fields. Use us as an instrument in your hand to call the nations to repentance, because we have seen the Lord high and lifted up. We have tasted the glory of his work, and we know the truth of his message. Our God saves. We oughtn't to pray, Lord, send that one. Lord, take that one. Oh, I'm glad that he is gone. We should say, Lord, here am I, send me. In the year that King Uzziah was born, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above him stood those seraphim, and each of them stood with their wings. With two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew, and they cried one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. May heaven and earth be filled with his glory. And may God use us in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church to proclaim that glorious name to the praise and honor of his great and glorious grace. Amen.